Now, Shamiqua Holtzclaw was once poised to be the breakout star of the WNBA, but her career was cut short when her battle with mental illness threatened her life. The documentary Mind Game, The Unquiet Journey of Shamiqua Holtzclaw, shows us the challenges that she faced on and off the court and how she went from basketball superstar to mental health advocate. The film will screen at the Macon Film Festival this weekend, and Shamiqua Holtzclaw is my guest right now. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Can you just start off by telling us a little bit about your story, about your childhood? What were some of the challenges that you faced?
Some of the challenges I faced as a child was growing up in a household where both my parents had addiction issues. Mixed with being pretty young, my mom had me around age 19. My dad was 22. And they were trying to figure things out, dealing with their own demons. And so when I was 11 years old, we were taken away because they arrived at my house one day, the police, and they realized that when they opened the door, because I was kept knocking because we were at a neighbor's house, when they opened it, my dad was like passed out drunk with food cooking on the stove. And, you know, it forced my parents to get the help that they needed. They went to rehab, and thank God they, you know, both are sober and doing well today. But we went to go live with my grandmother. So, you know, as a young kid, I'm dealing with a lot of emotional issues, or a lot of anger. And that was the first time I was met with, you know, just the ups and downs, the moods. My grandmother recognized it, and she sent me to a program called Alateen, and that's for kids who have parents or relatives who deal with alcoholism. And then, you know, it's something that I would say that I constantly was swept under the rug because I was really, you know, always doing well in school academically, and I was on the verge of what became a great basketball career. So, you know, so much was going on around me that I failed to deal with the emotional challenges that I was having.
Yeah, and they didn't stop at childhood. Let's hear our first clip from the documentary. This is a clip of Jenny Mauschak, one of the trainers at the University of Tennessee. Here she is talking about how you worked through the passing of your grandmother.
Shamiqua Holtzclaw channeled a lot of her energies when her grandmother passed away. She was having the best season of her career because she channeled everything into that. The problem is it's not sustainable. Eventually, the wear and tear of the emotional issue is going to win.
So tell us about your emotional state when you were in college at UT.
Oh, you know, I would have a lot of ups and downs. I remember one point, you know, going to Coach Summit and saying, hey, you know, all these amazing things are happening, but I'm not happy. And, you know, I'm really having a lot of up and down moods. And at that time, she was able to connect me with one of the university's sports psychologists, and I went to her. But what, in my mind, you know, I had to get out there and score 20 points and 10 rebounds, and I also had to perform well in the classroom. So again, it was swept under the rug. I think everything came to a head after I went pro, and it was a lot of excitement. And of course, the person that raised me after I left my parents, you know, my grandmother had been along with me for the whole ride and had been such an amazing support in my life. When she passed away in 2002, that was the trigger for me. And I really got in a really bad funk. At times it felt, you know, like I was just like living in another body. I became the queen of, you know, masking my emotions. And I always tell people it's like I was living a double life. You know, I would be this amazing basketball player on the court and, you know, and a social person to my teammates. But I would go home and it was just like, you know, sitting in darkness, you know, always having that pit feeling, you know, going, having thoughts in my head that were really irrational, you know, thinking about taking my life. And I became really paranoid because I felt like everyone knew my little secret.
Yeah. Yeah, your description of depression is no doubt going to be very, very familiar to a lot of people who've had experience with it, either directly or through a loved one. But, of course, what's different about your story is that you were a professional athlete, and that changes the dynamic. Let's hear another clip from the documentary about you. This is from fellow athlete and NBA player Meta World Peace, talking about his own battle with mental health.
When I first came out publicly in front of 40 million people and told everybody I want to thank my psychiatrist, people called me crazy. People called me crazy for helping myself. I just moved on with my day because there's nothing to be embarrassed about when you're trying to really, really help yourself.
So, Shamiqua, how does being an athlete change the equation when you're dealing with mental health problems?
It really changes the equation because people look at us as these amazing talents, these people who are strong. You know, they look at us at our physical gifts and how we're able to just go out there and dominate. And I think sometimes they look at us as almost like superheroes. And then we come out and we reveal these, you know, emotional side of us. People are just shocked. But in a culture of sport, you're taught to push through. You know, to get over it, be mentally strong. So a lot of athletes, you know, end up hiding the emotional issues that they struggle with because they don't want the coaches to know. You never know how that's going to affect playing time, how it's going to affect a team's chemistry, because you don't want to show weakness.
We're talking to Shamiqua Holtzclaw. She's a former WNBA player. She played for the Atlanta Dream, among others. She is the subject of a new documentary called Mind Game about her struggles with mental health and her advocacy for people who've gone through what she went through. It's going to be screening at the Macon Film Festival. Shamiqua, here's an interesting clip from the documentary. This is, Dr. David Satcher. He brings up a racial component that black athletes in particular have to contend with when they're dealing with mental health problems. Let's listen.
Getting people to feel comfortable talking about the burden of mental illness, that's more difficult among African Americans who feel that we are already struggling. People are not looking for another burden. But I do know it's improving, because when people who are in the spotlight are willing to share their burden, I think it does lighten the burden of other people.
Shamiqua, can you explain that a little bit more? Why do black folks look at mental health differently than maybe other kinds of demographics do?
I look at it as a minority issue in general. When you have communities that have been really the strength that they've gotten is from, you know, the church. And a lot of times, you know, the church feels like, oh, you can pray everything away. Now, in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, the mentality has changed. But I remember when I first came out and told someone in church, you know, this is what I'm struggling with. It was like, you need to pray more. You need to come talk to me. Now, you know, I hear pastors say, well, everything can't be prayed away. You know, they've admitted to, you know, having issues with depression also. And some of it, you know, they'll say it's seasonal, and they're like, if it's chemical, if it's not going away, to get help. But again, I have friends who are Asian, and it's the same thing in their households. They don't talk about it. I think when you're people that have struggled, you know, people that have pushed through so much in society, you can't be weakened. You know, your family's like, hey, listen, we done been through too much. You can't be weak mentally. You know, just go ahead, pray, and get on with your day. So you just see a lot of people, you know, kind of tucking away their feelings. And, you know, when you got to worry about, you know, paying the next bill or you know, dealing with, you know, keeping your sons or off the streets and things like that, you know, taking care of your mental is the least part, you know, part that you think about.
Right. Yeah. So tell me about your advocacy on this issue. What are you trying to do?
Well, it's not what I'm like trying to do. It's what I've
What are you doing? Bad question.
since 2006, you know, when I had the suicide attempt and I walked away without, you know, any injuries, I made a promise to myself that I would use my voice, my platform, to help others. And, you know, I've been speaking since then, different organizations, women's groups, colleges, university, anybody that wants to listen. I'm really getting people together and having this conversation out and open, because it's no longer we can just hide behind these closed doors. It needs to be out there. You need to have people sharing, because the more we use our voices and say this is an issue, the more powerful it becomes, the more awareness is created. And I've been able to have some great allies along the way, from, you know, the Jed Foundation, which is doing an amazing job based out of New York City. I love working with them, and it really allows me to even use my voice on a bigger scale, and they're great people. And you just have so many various organizations that, you know, you run across where everybody collectively is coming together. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to see. You know, you have the organization, you can have an organization over there. You know, sometimes in sports it's like my thing and my team, and it's like, no, like, everybody's just trying to come together to create something that is powerful,
right,
and it's going to save lives. Because at the end of the day, when, you know, I'm on those campuses and I hear these students whether they're struggling with mental health or they're going through, you know, issues with their sexuality or things like that, for them to come up to me and say, hey, you know what, you give me strength. And, you're the reason why I haven't taken my life. It's very powerful, and it puts a lot of weight on my shoulders. But I just know that I'm doing work that's very purposeful. And I really try to touch the grassroots also. I have a lot of clinics, basketball clinics for kids. And I just use that to get them in. And I always have, like, sports psychologists to kind of talk to them so they can kind of, like, open up about their emotions, because I wish I would have had that when I was younger.
We just have 30 seconds left, Shamiqua, but you mentioned that you played at University of Tennessee under Pat Summitt, the legendary women's basketball coach there who recently passed away. Mm-hmm. 20 seconds, memories of Pat Summitt?
Oh, just an amazing woman. You know, she just taught us how to be strong women, taught us how to expect excellence from ourselves when nobody else expects it, to never give up, you know, to expect, you know, like living your greatness. That's what she always told me, living your greatness, Meek. And so just an amazing spirit, and she's going to be missed. You know, I was very, very close to her, and it's kind of rocked my world. But I continue to move forth because I know she's my angel.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're doing her proud. Shamiqua Holdsclaw is a former WNBA player and now a mental health advocate. Thank you so much, Shamiqua. We appreciate it.
All right. You have a great day. Bye.
You too.